are live. Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast number 52. It is your pals, Mario and Brian. Mario, what is going on?
Not much. Had a really good weekend last weekend. Going to talk about a lot of that stuff, but I think we got a good show today. We're going to talk about some interesting topics.
Yeah, we're starting to get to that muggy, gross time of year that some people like to call summer. But there's still lots of good information going on in the ski world and lots of other cool, fun stuff going on. So what are we talking
about this week, Bri?
Well, this week's topic is, dude, where's my yacht?
Why is it called that? That's a little
highfalutin. It's very highfalutin, which is what we are, because we just went to the America's Cup last weekend, and we're going to report back on all the things we experienced, things we saw, and figure out a plan how we can score ourselves a yacht and live the yachting lifestyle.
I like that.
But first, you know, we've got our all of our information we're going to give to you guys, skibumpodcast.com. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for Highfalutin Ski Bums. Check us out on Twitter, at Ski Bum Podcast, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast. And now, with your favor.
Yeah.
There it is.
You hear that sound? It's time for the weekly flavor.
Mm-mm. Mario, what are you consuming this week?
Mm-mm. I'm having a nice space juice. Long Trail Brewing Company space juice. We've had this before. I had one in the fridge. I'm like, today's the day to crack it open.
Yeah, so one of our favorites.
Yes. So Long Trail Brewing Company out of Vermont, limited double IPA that they run. Pretty good stuff.
So yeah, that's delicious stuff. That's that we had as one of our favorites from Ski Bum Week back in December.
Mm-hmm.
And with good reason.
And there's the last one. So now we have to go have another reason to go back up and get some.
Absolutely, yes.
So Brian, what do you have today?
Well, we sort of missed Cinco de Mayo. Sort of missed, didn't really miss, kind of thing. So I am going with a lovely Herradura Añejo tequila.
Oh, nice.
It is ultra premium, 100% agave tequila, barrel aged for 25 months.
Oh, wow. It seems like a long time for tequila, right?
It is, you know, and if you're a bourbon, whiskey, scotch guy, and you want to try something a little bit different, a little wilder, I've become a big fan of the tequilas, especially the Añejos, because they do have a bit of that kind of whiskey, fermented, barrel aged flavor. That they have, so give it a try.
Nice.
And Herradura is one of the best. All their whole line is dynamite. Trying to get my hands on the Ultra Añejo, which allegedly exists. I've probably gone to at least 10 liquor stores now and can't find it. So,
oh really?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's on their website. They don't tell you where to buy it. I've never seen it anywhere. No one's told me where to get it. So I'm good. That's kind of one of my missions for the summertime, is to find this Ultra Añejo from Herradura.
I actually think our buddy Dan, who we hung out with this weekend, he might have a way to get some of that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he works for a distributing company, so that's why he was sponsoring the whole Gosling thing. So I think that might be a hookup. Might be able to – actually, why don't you should reach out to him and be like, hey, where can I get some of that stuff?
It's not a bad idea. I may have to look into that.
Yeah. Got to use our sources where we can, you know.
That's true. And we'll get more into that, into Goslings and our new friends that we made this past weekend. But yeah, first, we have to do what we do best.
Oh, yeah.
The honky tonk ski news music.
Got a little ski news coming for you.
That's right.
So, Brian, let's
a lot of big ski news. A lot of ski areas are undergoing major renovations this summer. Especially out west. Out west, they had such a dynamite year. They were just rolling in cash money. So what do you do with that cash money? You spend it on renovations to make next year even better. First place, yeah. Taos Ski Valley. So they are building a new hotel, the Blake Hotel, that is projected to open this fall. But that hotel is only one part of a larger base area redevelopment plan that will eventually reshape the entire Taos experience, including lodging, resort services, and commercial offerings. And I think we had mentioned that on an earlier podcast. I know a lot of the locals, and again, I think this happens whenever there's a big expansion, is that the locals usually look upon that negatively because they don't want to ruin the culture, the history, what they had earlier. And now Taos is kind of like a very hippie-ish artsy community. So I'm sure they're having some blowbacks and pushback. But I think it's been the works for a while, and they're starting to just concede at this point, which is, you know, good or bad, depending on what side of the argument you're on.
Yeah.
Another one, Yellowstone Village, the exclusive Yellowstone Club, is creating their titled Yellowstone Village. All right, so it's the Yellowstone Club is creating the Yellowstone Village with 40 new residences situated next to the base area. Floor plans go from 2,000 to 8,000 square feet all across the club's core area, new lobbies, underground parking. And let's see.
That is a ton of space.
Dining, bars.
8,000 square feet.
And they're actually going to have 2,200 skiable acres of members-only powder.
Oh, that's like the exclusive powder that we saw at that one mountain where they had the little huts or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that was in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's becoming a thing now. You know, there's only so many new amenities. I mean, how many different new kind of ski amenities can you possibly create that provide value? The biggest value really is the snow. And if you can make it exclusive, I mean, that seems to be the most valuable thing. So it makes sense that they're going to have kind of corded off areas now too, that only if you're a member you can access.
I guess it's like people that have a house on a golf course or a private golf course. It's kind of the same concept if you think about it. They want a place to go do what they like doing, skiing or boarding, and they have their own little private Shangri-La.
Yeah, you break
pay for that.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. So I'm going to turn the camera off. Turn yours off too, just so we can save some bandwidth. It's almost like baseballs with the Perrier. It's kind of like Perry Snow. That's all I can think of. So next up, Jackson Hole Mountain Resort. They introduced the Teton Lift last year, and that's just the start of their new on-mountain improvements. So they're going to be doing a new gondola as well, the Sweet Water Gondola, to improve its capacity to keep people moving out of the base area and eventually provide access to a yet-to-be-built ski school for the top. That is just adorable. New gondola is an 8-person cabin. We'll cover 1,276 vert in 7.5 minutes, starting from the top of the Bridger gondola and the Tiwanat high-speed quad with the midstation in the Solitude area near the Casper restaurant. That's a good spot because I know the Casper restaurant, that was always a real pain to get to. It was just in that weird spot. A lot of traversing was necessary. And yeah, it's kind of going to be a good spot, I think, for them to put a new gondola up. I think you might be on mute. Is that possible? Did you mute yourself? Did I mute you?
Yeah, I was on mute. Never mind.
Oh, there you go. Now you're back in the game.
Now I'm back in.
All right, we're good. We got this figured out. We're using new technology to our advantage.
Technology, yo.
Yeah. So that the new one at Jackson is slated to open next season. So, well, this season, upcoming.
Awesome.
Because remember what a pain that weird traverse over to the Casper restaurant was?
Yeah, it was really strange, and it was a little dangerous because you had to cut across like a bunch of trails.
A lot of the Black Diamonds you had to cut across too. So, you know, people are bombing these runs down, and you're kind of just, you know, piddling through there on your traverse. It was a little bit sketchy. Now, yeah. Too, the Casper restaurant, now I rated it as one of my favorite on-mountain things that I ate there. They had a pulled pork sandwich that was out of this world. So if you're in Jackson Hole, make a trip to the Casper restaurant and get that pulled pork. I think you had tacos there that were pretty out of this world too, right?
Yeah, they had several different kind of tacos in it. I was on a Taco Quest. It was good.
Taco Quest. That would be an awesome show for Telemundo to have.
It'd be a video game. Taco Quest. Racist? You got to ski for your tacos?
Ooh.
You got to ski across the traverse to get to the tacos.
You know, the Choco Taco. It's a dessert taco. I'm surprised they haven't had more competition.
I like the Choco Taco.
It's amazing, right? But what is it, like a frozen cheesecake taco?
Yeah, I mean, it has a waffle cone, taco shell. It's perfect.
I think the whole dessert taco market is very untapped at this point.
Oh, yeah. They could definitely
They could do like a whole bunch of like instead of like the froyo where you put like all your toppings on the yogurt, you could do that with a taco shell.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Like, instead of cups, you get taco shells.
Like the cannoli, like they could break the cannoli out of its shell, put it into a taco shell, and you could do a little more toppings and fillings and stuff.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Untapped market.
Untapped.
All right, so next, Squaw Valley. With the movement to incorporate Olympic Valley dissolved, Squaw Valley's plans for a complete reimagined base area village only will have to get approval from the county. They are working on a project to significantly increase lodging, commercial space, and attractions. But of course, that's what the locals are very upset about. And they're also putting in a base-to-base gondola connecting Squaw Valley with Alpine Meadow, which would be a pretty pretty extensive dynamite addition there. Whistler, we talked about their Renaissance project, which is just a whole ridiculous $345 billion renovation.
That's going to be awesome.
So we won't get into details on that bad boy. Big Sky, they're doing some lift replacement. Announced that the Challenger lift, which was shut down mid-season, would be replaced by a fixed grip triple. Came out that the aging Lone Peak triple also be upgraded, and a new detachable 6-seater bubble lift will be constructed in place of an old triple that currently provides access to the bowl.
Bowl it up.
One more, the long abandoned Stagecoach lift project, which was once the independent resort of Moonlight Basin, is rumored to be completed this summer as well. I've noticed a lot of these the bubble lifts popping up now. I think the bubble lift was the first one to have it in North America, right?
I think they were.
So they claim.
Yeah, I mean, you go out in Europe and we saw it everywhere. I mean, they have like, what did we see in Austria? They had an 8-person bubble lift.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a monster.
It was massive and just incredibly insane. I was like, first off, it was an 8-person lift. And then it had the bubble, and it was like, it was just massive.
My favorite thing about those 8-person bubbles was the like staggered, you know, like yeah. The staggering of the way people got onto it. It was like a race. Yeah, exactly. Like a starting block at like a race. And yeah, it was that was pretty funky. It was almost like a Super Mario Brothers kind of contraption to the way it kind of swung around.
Well, it freaked a lot of people out because the people on the ends went first and then everybody else was after. So you see the people in the middle were like panicking, like, my thing's not opening. I'm going to miss the lift. And like, no, it's designed that way.
Yeah.
It was kind of freaky.
Science, yo.
I couldn't believe how big those lifts were. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Person bubble. All right, so next we have J-Peak. J-Peak, Vermont. So this story is getting weirder and weirder. it's like an onion. You're peeling it and you're just going to cry because in the end, J-Peak's just losing out. So attorneys for Miami businessmen asked federal judge Monday to allow them to resume operating projects in and around Vermont ski areas and U.S. That the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission lawsuit is trying to prevent. So basically, Ariel Quiros is the one of the guys that's named in the J-Peak Resort suit, where they're saying that they misappropriated funds for some projects, either for personal use or for projects they were not meant for. So they're saying about $50 million is what was misappropriated out of about $200 million in investor money. Yeesh. So while this is going on, they're actually saying that some of the money came from a program from foreign investors that invested in a federal EB-5 visa program, which allows permanent U.S. residency for people from other countries who finance projects that create a certain amount of jobs. So now they have this whole thing of misappropriating funds from projects used for other projects and personal use to now this, I guess there's going to be charges associated with this, trying to give permanent U.S. residency for rich people from other countries. So it's just, wow, it's just getting really crazy. So I guess there's going to be appeal after appeal, and with people with money, it's going to go on for a while, but they're trying to shut him down from doing anything. He's saying he's going to be exonerated, and they're shutting him down without having him found him guilty of stuff. So it's just kind of And he's trying to claim that other people are involved that are going to be sent back to their countries and all this other stuff that have invested, party investments. So there's a lot of different layers to this whole lawsuit, which I don't know. I'm going to have to sit down and dissect it, but it's just really, really kind of crazy.
Yeah, this whole thing seems like it's really only going to benefit the lawyers at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird because it's SEC, it's federal. So federal usually doesn't even prosecute unless they know they have you on some charges. It's one of those things. I actually knew somebody that worked for the FBI, and they're like, "Yeah, you know, we won't just pick somebody up for doing a crime. We kind of monitor them, have them dead to right on a bunch of crimes, and then try to get the people that they're dealing with." So it's kind of federal usually never moves in unless they really have a good case, and for them to take this up. Yeah, you probably have a pretty, like I said, there's different things here. Now this is this whole other program that came into the mix, along with the SEC misappropriation of funds. So I imagine there's only going to be more stuff that comes out. So it's crazy.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, I think, at this point, and hope we can actually get up there and ski next year. I think operations are pretty much going ahead as they always have been. I know there was some talk of them having to shut down, but I think it's been business as usual for the most part up there.
Yeah, I imagine part of the appeals are to say, well, if we don't open up and don't resume our – and I think that's why part of this was if we don't resume our projects and some improvements, you're going to hurt the business when it hasn't – you know, when that's really shouldn't be part of this lawsuit right now kind of. Or, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but if you shut down the business – it really doesn't matter if you're innocent or guilty. You lost your business that you built. So,
right.
I think that's a little bit, but it's really kind of strange. This started out as like a little blurb that came out and like, yeah, whatever. And then it's really starting to blow up into this big. This is going to be a special on Dateline, I'm sure.
Ugh. Yeah. Right. All right. Next up. So here's a quick little story. So there was some big snowfall going on at Perisher in Australia. It got a little dumping overnight, nice. Probably, I don't know, maybe a couple inches. But, you know, for them, it's like if it snowed in the Northern Hemisphere early in October, a nice big dumping. So, yeah, they got a little bit of snow down there. So they're getting excited down under, which is good, which is always a nice ski option too. So if you're looking to do some skiing in the North American, Northern Hemisphere, summertime, Australia may not be a bad place to go.
I actually went, I included a link to the site on the with the show notes. Mm-hmm. And if you look, I like their logo. It's pretty neat. It's like it's kind of a play on like mountains and stuff. It's pretty interesting. The name sounds a little weird. I was like, Perisher? Like, yeah, I don't want to perish when I go
skiing. Yeah, it sounds like you're going to die.
Yeah, but maybe it's extreme skiing. I don't know.
One thing that's cool too about the resort, if you go down to the bottom, so they have a road that goes there. I guess there's two main roads that go there, but there's also the ski tube, which is a train that that rides up there, which is pretty awesome. So you can take this special Alpine railway that they have, and it goes through a 6.3 kilometer tunnel and is 550 feet below the surface at its deepest point.
Nice. I love that idea.
That's really nice, having that train service too, because then you're like, it's snowing, no big deal, still going to get there.
I think they should do that with all this. They could just have these ski tubes go up underneath the mountain.
Kind of like a subway, like subway. A ski subway.
Ski subway. And then you could ski on everything. There'll be no poles in the middle of the way. There'll be like, at one with nature, and underneath you hear the subway cars going.
It's like the Underground Railroad for skiing.
That's right. You'd be like, yo, man, I just want a lift ticket, man.
Underground ski railroad.
You can really be a ski bum then. You
can
go
true.
In the subway, just like.
Did you ever watch that documentary, Dark Days?
I actually heard about it, but it seems too creepy to watch. For
Dude,
me.
It's so good. It's just about these weird, like the mole people who live in the New York City, those abandoned subway and train tubes.
It's so sad and so scary, but it's fascinating, right?
It's weird. I mean, these people have a whole way of living. They go around. They like go through garbage. They are able to trade. They barter to, you know, to get to buy, find food, find water, and the the documentary is probably, it's got to be 10 years old by now. And I guess at the end, they got the people out of there and set up housing for them, which was kind of cool. Spoiler alert. Cool. Sorry. Oh. But the best thing about that, it's also got a really dope soundtrack. It's like DJ Shadow did the soundtrack for the documentary, and it works perfectly for it. It's interesting. It's very interesting to see that people actually live that way, you know? So if you don't want to have a job and live in a condo and commute to work, there is other alternatives out there, which, you know, not saying I want to do it, but I like knowing that it's out there.
Well, just the underbelly of these big cities is amazing. So before the Islander game, I was waiting for you at the bar. We were just hanging out. And I started talking to the dude next to me. He winds up working for Brooklyn College, and he's a steam fitter. So I was talking to him. He's like, yeah, it's like a lot of the big cities. He was like a steam fitter in the city for a while too. And he's like, you don't realize these pipes have been there for like over 100 years, this whole steam pipe system. And steam gets pumped in. It still heats up the entire city. And when something breaks, they don't even know like what causes it sometimes. They got to go down there and look. And there's these areas that just people never go in. Like they haven't gone in for like 80 years. And all of a sudden something happens. They got to go down there. He says it's freaky stuff.
Oh, you never know what you're going to encounter, right? I mean, rats are probably the best thing you're going to find.
Yeah, not only that, he's like, this whole pipe system, it's like, they just trust that it keeps working. They don't really even know how some of it works. They're like, yeah, we see a pipe there. We hope it, you know, it's just nuts.
That was like when Sandy hit too, you know, a lot of the subway stations and the PATH stations, they were all affected because the water got in there and messed with, you know, the salt water got into the machinery there and some of the parts.
Switchers and stuff, they said, yeah.
And they haven't made those parts in 90 years. So they actually had to have things fabricated and created just to get these, you know, these things operating again, which is crazy.
It's wild stuff.
It's so funny as a kid. Like when you're a kid, you always think that adults kind of have everything figured out. They know what they're doing. And then you become an adult and you're like, wow, this shit is all just kind of like popsicle sticks and glue. So this whole society we live in.
Well, it's like going to a doctor. You go to the doctor, they're like, oh yeah, you think you have this. And you're like, well, how, you know, if you start asking questions, you find out like, oh, well, that's the diagnosis. I'm like, is there a test to tell me that I have this? They're like, no, but that's what it looks like. It's like, all right, so you're just kind of educated guessing is what you're doing.
Like, you're not really much better than WebMD.
Yeah, like I diagnosed myself. How about that?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you don't want to look on WebMD, let's put it that way.
You pretty much have cancer of everything if you go to WebMD.
I had a suspicious mole, and I just got it biopsied this week. And it's funny, like, you know, doctor's like, yeah, I don't think it's anything to worry about. But, you know, if you want a biopsy, I'm like, hell yeah, I want a biopsy. I want to just know, like, for peace of mind. She's like, okay, that's fine. We'll just take a biopsy, put a stitch in there, you know, took some skin, whatever. But she's like, yeah, she's like, you're better off just coming in when something like, you know, when you think, you know, she's like, you know, because some people either they talk to friends or they go online, and that can make it worse. I'm like, oh yeah. I was like, I stayed off of WebMD because everything turns out to be cancer. She's like, she started laughing. She's like, yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, so don't do that. Don't go to WebMD. Go to skibumppodcast.com. It's way more fun, way more exciting, way more interesting. And we promise you, 100% guarantee, we are not going to give you cancer.
That's right. That's right.
100% cancer-free guarantee.
Cancer-free guarantee?
From the bums.
Right.
All right, and we got one more story. It was reported by Powder Magazine that changes are coming to Alta. And like we mentioned earlier, whenever there are changes announced to some of the old favorite mountains, you know, the locals and everybody tends to panic a little bit.
You are pissing somebody off.
Yeah, definitely. So last week, the Salt Lake City Tribune reported an expansion plan proposed to Alta. And one of the big ones was the replacement of the some of the infrastructure and a tram to the top of new lifts, more parking, and a restaurant expansion. So they announced their whole big master plan to the U.S. Forest Service, which they're trying to get approved. And I remember we talked about it a couple weeks ago. There's one part where they're giving up a piece of land, but they're also acquiring another piece. It's kind of complicated and interesting the way, you know, these different ski areas have to work with the Federal Park Service, because a lot of them are owned by the Park Service and just kind of leasing the land. But yeah, I don't want to go into details here because, you know, it's a lot of words. And
a lot of words. Well, Mount Baldy is where they want to put the lift up, and that's what's causing the big hubbub, right?
Right. Because that used to be the spot where you had to, you know, hike your way up to.
Yeah.
So, of course, people tend to, you know, freak out a little bit about that.
You're ruining it, man.
Yeah. So talking about a tram from the Germania Ridge to near the summit of Mount Baldy, a new lift from Sugar Bowl to another point on the Germania Ridge, eliminating the need for the East Greeley Traverse that skiers take from Sugarloaf to the Collins Lift, replacement of the Supreme and Secret lifts to with a high-speed detachable chair, including an angle station of some sort partway up connecting the two existing lift line corridors, removal of the Albion Lift, expansion of Watson's Shelter and Alf's Restaurant, elimination of 50 parking spots in the Wildcat lot to make room for a bus turnaround and drop-offs, and addition of 48 parking spots in the Albion lot, which would be expanded with grading, providing a direct connection to the parking area for Snowpine Lodge.
Hmm.
So a lot of stuff in the works. And Mario, I know you haven't been out there, but Alta, we've been there once, and there's something about it. It's just, I mean, it's so throwback. I mean, there's, you know, the restaurants they're pretty old. There's not much going on there. I mean, this place, it's really all about skiing there. The mountain is beautiful. It's perfect the way it is. You know, again, there isn't much there. And I guess, you know, like with everything else, you know, the owners of these places all want to make a few extra bucks wherever they can. So what are you going to do? You're going to put in bigger restaurants and get, you know, faster lifts to get more people up and down. I mean, that's progress.
Got to get asses in the seats of the lifts. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Everybody's got investors. You know, things aren't getting cheaper. They want to make money too, you know?
Yeah, that's, you know, unfortunately, that's kind of the way this all works. And it kind of goes back to what we mentioned earlier with that other story, talking about how they're going to have private powder areas. You know, if places do get too busy, too crowded, they find a way by having those exclusive areas. Or, you know, if you're a season pass holder, you get to go out an hour earlier. You know, they're making that powder the rare commodity that, you know, people.
It's kind of like the Disney Speed Pass, right? You pay like an extra, I don't know, it's like $100 a person just to cut the lines and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like Easy Pass, like on Route 70, they have that Fast Pass plan. That's pretty much what the next step seems to be in our sport, is that they're trying to, you know, they're making the powder the product, and there's going to be a way, if you have the money or the means, that you'll be able to get that by spending more money to get exclusive areas or, you know, exclusive times. And unfortunately, that's the way it seems to be going.
Bunch of D-bags on the mountain that can't even ski well. That's what's going to happen eventually.
Thanks, Jersey. Right?
That's there. That's, you know, I mean,
thanks, Jersey.
What's next? You're going to have an exclusive country club setting to go skiing. It's like, I can't even ski this mountain. You know, so I kind of understand the blowback. People are like, well, you're kind of ruining like the nature. And then you get, they're leasing it back from the federal government, which is a national park, which we all collectively pay into. So why would it be exclusive? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very true.
And that's part of the argument. Even not allow snowboarders in some of these places is if they're leasing land, you know, I know they have a lease, but still it's like, okay, well, it's still national park, which everybody owns. You know?
Yeah. That's Alta again, right there, you know, not allowing snowboarders.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting to see these battles being fought and how things play out. Cause again, you have, you know, things like the One Wasatch Project to try and, I guess they're still kind of working towards, I don't know if it's going to happen out in Utah, where they're going to connect Little Cottonwood and Big Cottonwood, and, you know, people are pushing back on that as well, and it's going to eliminate some of the backcountry area. It's going to make other places, you know, get too crowded, and that you see that happening, and you see something like this investigation at Jay Peak, this, you know, SEC investigation that, you know, people are trying to make as much money as they can. Sometimes they're doing things allegedly unscrupulously.
Yeah.
So it's it's about finding that balance, by finding the, you know, what's the right way to do things and what's the best for everybody. And so, you know, we'll continue to keep posting and reporting to you guys what we're finding out, the new information comes through. But for now, we'll just have to sit back and wait and see.
Yeah.
Which, and that brings us to our topic. Oh, hear that sexy, shaky, topic-y music.
So what are we talking about for our topic today?
Dude, Where's My Yacht?
Boom, I like it.
Yeah, so Mario, why don't you give us a little rundown of how things went down last weekend?
All right, so I'll start off, well, so Saturday. So we decided, so Brian and I actually Friday, I didn't even include this on the outline, but like Friday we started out with Islanders playoff game in Brooklyn. First game I've been to in the new stadium. I'm a big Islander fan. Brian's not a big Islander fan, but he's a hockey fan. We had a great time there, I tell you. It was a lot of fun, right?
It was very cool. We had a really, really good time there. And I'm sure if you follow us on Instagram, you would have seen how much fun we were having because we posted every pretty much 10 minutes.
I keep looking at the Stanley Cup photo and just keep laughing.
You know what? I wonder what that poor bastard did with that thing after they got eliminated in 5 games.
But it was genius. He made a Stanley Cup out of, I think it was Tupperware and tinfoil in the stadium because you couldn't just sneak it in. So
unless he had this cup in his ass.
That's all.
He'd be damned. Let some security guy take his cup.
That's right. So we did that on Friday. It was a lot of fun. Like Brian said, the Instagram, so we did that. Then after having no voice and being out pretty late on Friday, Saturday woke up, went down to Jersey City, and our buddy Dan LeFever from Castle Brands was hosting a Gosling's rum event. And anybody that knows Gosling's, they make rum and they make that delicious ginger beer, which I put in. You can use for dark and stormies, but you could also use them in Moscow Mules. And I tell you what, Brian, tell us a little bit about that. That was a lot of fun, right?
That was I had no idea what to expect at this event. So they had all the boats set up. We'll get into that later about what actually went down. But they had a great spread. Dan was a super cool guy. We were chatting with him a bit. They had a bartender there. They had snacks. They had a whole viewing area on the TVs. They had, we were right on the riverfront right there for the event. And just a lot of people hanging out, very friendly, great weather. It was a really nice event. And Gosling's. So I was just looking at their website. So what we partook in mostly during the day were the rum swizzles. And of course, you put in Gosling. What's the first thing that comes up? Stupid, handsome Ryan Gosling. But the rum swizzle, that was our drink of choice for the day. That was a Mario recommendation. That was a very good recommendation.
So those were freaking awesome. They remind me a little bit of the Goombay Smash, which you like.
Oh, right? The Goombay, a Killington favorite.
They taste a little because I think they have coconut in there too. But I tell you what, I had those rum swizzles when we were in the Bahamas. We went to this place called the Swizzle Inn, and I guess that's where the drink was created. And I tell you what, we went to the they had the caves there. They have like underground caves, which are really cool. And then we went out. We were waiting for a bus to go back because we were on a cruise, and we just took the bus there and bus back. And right by the bus stop, there's this place called the Swizzle Inn, and it was pretty awesome because they had all this stuff that people just decided to like staple up on the walls and on the ceiling. So they had everything from dollar bills to people's IDs. It was just it was crazy. But those rum swizzles, they taste like there's nothing in it. And I had like 3 of them, and I was like, woo!
Dude, yeah, oh, okay, I see now. So here's the ingredients. Now, I was reading the ingredients, and I'm like, oh my God, this is what the website says. 4 ounces Gosling's Black Seal Rum. 4 ounces Gosling's Gold Rum. 5 ounces of pineapple juice. 5 ounces of orange juice. 3/4 of an ounce of grenadine and 6 dashes of Angostura bitters. Now that makes 6 of them, because I was reading. I'm like, Jesus! I'm like 8 ounces of rum in one drink. I'm like, that's insane. That's half a pint of rum.
Yeah,
like, that makes 6 of them. So there was an awesome bartender there. He was like cranking these out for us. Yeah, I mean, they taste, I mean, it just tastes like a perfect tropical drink. It's so easy to drink. And again, we had no restrictions on how many we could have. So needless to say, we had a very, very good time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It's weird they have the ingredients for six. Like, why would you, I wouldn't have like a, I guess you make a pitcher of it, you know?
That's, you never drink just one.
You really can't have one of these. They're just too good. They have some other cool drinks on their website too. This is goslingsrum.com, GOSLINGSRUM.com. They have a drink called the Zombie. It's 1 ounce of gold rum, half an ounce of triple sec, splash of grenadine, orange juice, pineapple juice, grapefruit juice, club soda. That sounds pretty good. And then, of course, the Dark and Stormy, which is a favorite among all. That's the Gosling's Black Rum and Ginger Beer. And they have a drink. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's right. And yeah, what else they got?
They have a Ginger Gale, which is ginger ale and Gosling's Gold Rum.
Nice.
As well as the Belladonna, which is 1 ounce of Gosling's Black Seal, 1 ounce of Amaretto, and 2 tablespoons of sour mix. Can't say I'm too on board for that one. I'll stick with the Swizzles.
Swizzles are good. And Dark and Stormies, I think I had one of those too.
Dark and Stormies are good. They also have
it was a good location, but so the weather on Saturday wasn't that great, and we didn't get to see – we got to see some racing. I actually posted some photos from there. We had them on Instagram. We just had stuff from the event, and I got a really nice hat out of it. A lot of people complimented me on that on Sunday too.
That was a real nice hat, yeah.
So that was pretty cool. We got a little swag.
Swag.
So that was Saturday. Had a good time there. And then Sunday, I went back down to Brookfield Place, which was where they had the village, you know, the event village. And it was really cool. Sunday, it was nice because the weather got really nice and the wind picked up. And it was a great day to watch the racing. I tell you what, I was a lot closer to the boats. And I tell you, those things can haul. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so what do they get to? Like, it's like 30 miles an hour or so?
They go over 50. Over 50 by wind on the water. It's insane.
Damn.
And then they hop up, like if they catch the wind and they're turning, they'll hop up on one of the pontoons, you know, because it's a they're actually racing.
The catamaran, right?
Yeah, they're racing catamarans. So they're like they'll pop up on one of the pontoons and you know, because they're just pulling so much wind out. It's crazy. It's insane. So it was really cool to see those things a little bit up close and stuff.
Yeah, speaking of something that's related to skiing, they were showing that Lindsey Vonn was going with the Oracle team last week. She was up there racing weekend. Yeah, she was working with the Oracle team, Team USA.
Nice.
Last Thursday, so before all the racing started.
Really cool. Very cool. Yeah. But yeah, so what they wound up doing, because Sunday was a better race day, they didn't count the racing that happened on Saturday, and then Sunday they gave everybody double points. So it was just kind of almost like a practice day Saturday, and then they took Sunday as the real deal. So it was pretty cool. Team USA came in second. New Zealand wound up coming in first, but it wound up being a really interesting, fun event.
I wonder if that New Zealand couple that we met on the subway was there to watch.
Could be.
Maybe they got them the 2 extra points.
Yeah.
A little home team cheering.
So it's funny. I dug up 2 articles. One was from this week. It was, I guess, from the Mirror, a British take on the event, which they said it was a great event, great to have it in New York. They didn't like the course, and I guess the weather didn't cooperate. It's tough being in New York because you got the tall buildings, so it screws around with the wind.
Yeah, says the team that came in fifth place.
Yes. And it could be a little bit of – could be a little sour grape there too.
Spirit of 76 coming for you.
That's right, yo. and then I pulled another article from 2013 – when they first went to these new style boats with like a fixed wing for the jib and then they have regular sail, there was a crash, a fatal crash when they first started going these new boats, because they pull so much more speed. So one of the teams they crashed had a whole big to do about it. They were wondering, like, are they going to keep these boats? Is it going to ruin the sport? Like, what's going on? And, you know, years later, it actually has helped the sport. But the cool part of the article is they just talk about the culture and about the America's Cup and the history of it. And they really highlight how much it's a pissing match for old rich men. So I thought that was just pretty cool. Like, they just talk about that animosity and, like, people just throwing wealth.
You know, what else are you going to do? You know, you can already pay to go ski somewhere privately. What else are you going to do with your money?
Exactly. This is, it's nuts.
Boat racing.
Boat racing, yo.
So, yes, yeah, so we had a good time. If you want to see any of our pictures, tweets, you can just go to skibumpodcast.com, find our links there. Twitter.com/skibumpodcast, Instagram.com/skibumpodcast, and Facebook.com/skibumpodcast. We took a lot of pictures. We had a lot of fun last weekend. And again, we want to thank Dan from Goslings for hooking us up and helping us out, because we had a really good time. So thank you, Dan.
Dan the man.
All right, man. I think it's that time, isn't it?
It is almost that time.
It's almost that time. We're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. Let's see.
Oh, now it's time.
Now it's time.
Yacht. All right, around the horn.
Talk around the horn.
All right, first up, this is an awesome story. Darren Ralvez wins the Arctic Man Challenge. Now, I totally missed this when it was happening. I just saw the story reported on powder.com. Technically, this could almost be a ski news story, but we're putting it in around the horn because it's a little bit more fun. Legendary ski racer Darren Ralvez took home first place in the year's Arctic Man Challenge, the Mountain Madman's relay race where it combines skiing, snowmobiling, and, of course, plenty of debauchery. There's 15,000 people up there in Alaska, and they said it's like Alaska's answer to Burning Man.
That's fantastic for everything snow.
Oh, it pretty much is. There's like tons of RVs. People are building snow bars. There's got couches on snowmobiles. So what it is, it's a 5.5-mile course that runs the length of two peaks and valleys. Skier or snowboarder begins atop the peak, bombs down 1,700 vertical feet in a mile and a half, picks up a tow rope behind their partner's sled at about 40 miles an hour, and ascends 2.2 miles up another mountain. From there, the racer rockets down another 1,200 vertical feet to the finish line.
Wow. That sounds freaking awesome.
That is insane. So it said during the downhill portion, the winner hit 92 miles an hour, barreling down a snow cat width course walled on either side by 5-foot snowbanks.
That is so nuts.
That is bananas.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I love that.
I think they had this on one of the ski movies. They showed this, but I don't know if it was as big as it is now.
Is it a Red Bull event? I'm trying to figure it out.
I don't know the guy that one of the guys on those things looks like he's wearing a whole Red Bull outfit, but that doesn't mean it's a Red Bull
event. No, it's Polaris. So the Polaris, snowmobile company. Cool. The Arctic Man Classic. Yeah, it took place April 10th. Through April 4th to the 10th. So this is actually kind of old, but it's freaking awesome. So we're reporting it now. So we're going to be ready for it next year.
If you go to arcticman.com, they got a whole site.
Arctic Man. Arctic Man. That is so awesome.
That is freaking crazy.
So congratulations, Darren. I know it's a month late, but you are the freaking man. So great job. And great job to all the competitors, because this just seems like it's just such an awesome party.
Yeah, I guess it's just every April is what it is, right?
Yeah, looks that way.
Nice.
Very cool. Yeah, they said that I guess he skied with TGR and stuff and been X Games, or his snowmobile driver was in the X Games. So these guys are legit Arctic men.
Arctic man.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff. So next up, we got a
I'm sure people have heard about this already, but former Facebook workers are reporting that they routinely suppress conservative news. So outside of the political arena, just the idea that Facebook manipulates their news feed is kind of a big thing because, you know, while everybody wants to believe that they're, you know, neutral when it comes to either politics or just stories in general, agendas, this kind of is really bad for Facebook because it shows like that they really had a concerted effort to basically do something very deceptive to people on Facebook. The interesting point, I'm not going to go the whole thing because they're actually talking about a lot of political ramifications and agenda. But I think it goes beyond that. It's the idea that they can push any agenda they want just by manipulating news feeds. So I thought this was interesting. I was like, well, let me see, because it doesn't seem like something they would do just one time. And back in 2014, there was actually an article where Facebook was tinkering with news feeds to see how it affected users' emotions. And I'm like, you got to be – that is pretty effed up when they're talking about they were manipulating news feeds to see if what made people happy and sad. And they said they did it as a psychological experiment, but I'm like, they didn't tell the people it was a psychological experiment. And meanwhile, they're manipulating news feeds to either make people sadder or happier. I'm like, that's just pretty messed up stuff. So,
you know who else did psychological experiments on people? The Nazis.
That's right.
So that's right. Call Mark, you know, Mark Zuckerberg what you will.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that, you know, for everybody out there, you know, you think about news, we try to give you both sides of the story. We tell you where we have our bias, but be careful of all the news feeds that you think and all the news sources that you think are, you know, very neutral. And a lot of times they're not. I mean, they are selling their product, which is their news, for advertisers. So they want as many people to look at it as possible. And sometimes that involves, you know, playing around with news stories.
Well, think about it. I mean, again, no one can be unbiased. I mean, we've talked about what we believe in. You know, we're pro skiing, we're pro booze, we're pro weed, we're pro adventure. You know, we're not hiding that. We can't hide that, right? That's what we're all about. And now Facebook, they are pro money. They make money by selling ads and by getting people to engage on using their product. Because think about it. How much does Facebook cost you a month? Absolutely nothing. What does that mean? That means you're the product. So they want you to use their product as much as possible. So if they're going to show you stories that validate your actions, that validate everything you believe in, of course they're going to do that. Because the more you see that, the more you're going to go, oh, I can't wait to go on Facebook to see what makes me feel good about myself, what makes me see what so-and-so is doing. You know, so it makes sense that they're going to do something like that. You know, And that's extremely dangerous for people who aren't in the know, people who don't know that they're doing this, because they're going to think they're going to have this very, very curated small piece of the pie viewpoint on everything if they use Facebook as their primary news source.
Right. And not only that, like you think about just other news sources. I mean, was it Tom Brokaw got caught like fabricating stories? Dan Rather, like. I think Dan
Ryan Williams, the whole thing with the in Iraq, how his helicopter got shot at, but really didn't.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, these are actual legitimate like news agencies that got caught fabricating stories, which is just another whole level of just craziness. So,
you know, you really almost have to go to a website that you think you hate, you know, like say if you're extremely conservative, you almost have to go to like a salon.com or, you know, Mother Jones. I think like those really liberal websites, you know, almost just once a week, just take a quick peek just to see that, you know, you may have a very, you know, a certain viewpoint and view of the world, but not everybody thinks like you. And, you know, the world isn't made up of people with one viewpoint. So you have to at least acknowledge that people think differently than you. And you may not agree with them, but realize that, you know, if for us to kind of move in a positive direction as a species, as a culture, as whatever you want to, you know, break it down to, we kind of have to at least work together somehow.
Yeah. That's crazy though.
Yeah. But that's pretty messed up. And I know Twitter changed their algorithm recently too, where they have that, oh, you may have missed this, or we think you might like this. So instead of just being chronological, you know, right, the way they used to do it, they're kind of throwing these chunks of information that's a bit more curated at you. Again, I don't know what their algorithm is. I'm sure they don't really disclose that either. But I don't know if it cheapens it, if that's the right word, but it makes you a little more suspect about what you're seeing.
Well, it's like we like to watch that show Silicon Valley, and they were recently talking about, you know, oh, we can't change the algorithm to only show good stuff because that would ruin the integrity of having a search engine that, you know, unbiasedly shows you the search results that you want to see. If somebody manipulates that, then you're actually telling them there's nothing out there. There's only what we want to show you. And that's it's a coerced view of reality.
You talk it about cheapens it tremendously.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, we joke about it. That's a funny show and they were joking about it, but this is actually kind of along the same lines. It's like, well, you know, if Facebook does it, then you wonder, like, is Google doing that? Is, you know, Yahoo search doing that? Is, you know, any other website, they have the ability to do this, and it's just kind of scary when you think about it. So it's kind of a little bit of buyer beware, you know?
Yeah. That's like my aviato.
My aviato?
Could there be any other aviato? If you don't want Silicon Valley and you're into anything technologically related, you are completely doing yourself a major disservice. It is such a great show. This season's been a little bit weird, but I think it's starting to go in the right direction.
Yeah.
This last episode. Yeah.
Really cool.
All right, so that was Facebook. So be careful when you're on Facebook. You really can't trust everything you see. That's what we're saying.
That's right.
The bums let you know. All right, next up. Snow chasers are skiing dirt in Iran. What are you going to do if you don't have snow? You're going to find some dirt to ski, right?
Like dirt skiing.
These guys were skiing dirt spines in Iran. Iran.
The video is awesome.
The video is really, really cool. Yeah. I don't one dude's from Austria, I guess. I don't know if they're both from Austria, these guys. But yeah, they decided to go out and said, you know what? I guess we could go further down, further south to find some some snow, but we're gonna go to Iran. I don't know if that would be my first choice for finding some dirt skiing or sand skiing.
It is pretty wild to watch it though. I guess it almost looks like the conditions are similar to some types of skiing.
I mean, I guess you gotta probably do your research and find the right kind of dirt, the right kind of sand for it. But yeah, it looks pretty awesome, actually. What they jump into is super steep.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to bring out your new skis on it, though.
Yeah, no. That's why you definitely want to rent some.
Yeah, rentals. You bring rentals to that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if all the dudes are Austrian, but I know a couple of them are. So I guess an Austrian going into Iran wouldn't be quite as bad as an American going into Iran. I don't really think they want us there, per se. I guess falling's got to really suck on this, too.
Well, that's just it. You don't really want to fall. You're just going to scrape your entire face and body.
Oh, dude, some of those spines they found are nasty.
It looked pretty cool. I was like, wow.
Oh, God, yeah. If you fall on that stuff, party's over.
Yeah, they don't show any falls in this video, which, you know.
Yeah, hopefully there weren't any. And I can't see their Austrian, you know, their Austrian healthcare translating very well into Iran.
Hey, you never know. I mean.
But you know what, though? Just like we're talking about with Facebook, how they're curating their news. How do we know that Iran is just so evil and crappy? Because maybe our media is manipulating that and telling us that, but we don't really know the truth.
My friend Burkhard from Germany, he loves going to Iran. He also likes going to third world countries to take photos and stuff. But yeah, he says it's fine going there.
Wasn't there a Vice episode? I think it was Iran. The Vice show on HBO where they had a guy. I guess they still have very, very backwards ways of looking at gender and homosexuality. Had the one guy.
Change one, right?
The sex change one. They're like, it's better to have a sex change than to be gay. Wasn't that their whole thing?
I think the state pays for the sex change or something.
That's what it was. Yes. Yeah. the state will pay for you to be a sex change, and your family is cool with it. But if you say you're gay, you're shunned.
Right. You can't be gay. You can have a sex change and be the other gender, but they won't. They don't view the other. It's this whole weird thing.
Yeah, it's a very very ass backwards sort of belief system, or you know, system of values they have there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really bizarre to watch. Because I mean, that from that video, they made it seem like there's parts of Iran that are very up and coming, very kind of, you know, very Western in their ways, trying to, you know, to be different and not be like old kind of repressed Middle Eastern cities. But then you hear about stuff like that and you're like, oh man, they got a ways to go.
Yeah. Crazy.
But also too, Iran's got some great skiing. I think we talked about it plenty of podcasts ago. There's some great mountains outside of Tehran. And there was a movie we talked about. I think it was a short movie a couple of months ago on one of the episodes. I think it was like a 20-minute documentary or so they were showing. They went on a road trip to ski in Iran, and it looked unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that was Warren Miller or TGR. One of them went.
I think it was a smaller outfit. I don't think it was one of the big guys.
Yeah, we were looking at all the trailers. Remember we looked at all those trailers?
Yeah. We still haven't watched a lot of those movies we talked about on the trailers. So maybe that could be like our summer project. Maybe that could be one of our episodes this summer. We could watch a couple movies, do some reviews.
I got to start binge watching.
Binge watching ski movies in July.
Yeah, that would kind of make me depressed. I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to look at that.
That's true. Well, I think we'll make it work. I think we can figure that out.
We'll make it work.
All right. This is your story next.
All right. So Brazil. The magical country of Brazil, which is hosting, had the World Cup, now they're hosting the Olympics. They are pondering an erotic theme park. Now,
what kind of theme park? Exactly.
Erotic theme park.
Erotic.
Not exotic, erotic. they're saying with no sex allowed. We'll see what that means, but somebody's trying to sell this idea of a theme park. So, bumper cars designed like genitalia? Sure. Everything, you know, bars serving aphrodisiac recipes? Of course. You know, sex on premise? No. They're saying no sex on premise. But it's an interesting article. They're talking about how these people are pitching this idea. They're saying by 2018, they want to be able to open the doors on this park called Erotica Land near Paraciba. 2 hours from Sao Paulo. Now the debate is they're saying the public display of sexuality in Brazil, they're debating about it, but the argument, I guess, for it is saying carnival celebrations are very scantily clad, very sexual, very, you know, out there events. So it's like this party, you know, conflict that they're having, this debate. They're saying about they're planning, you know, their business plan is saying about $100 for visitors to get in, for those who can afford it. And they're going to have like a whole sex playground, labyrinth, Ferris wheels, water slide, history of sexuality museum. And they're trying to say it's a racy theme, but the idea behind it is that they'll promote a healthy approach to sex. So they're saying they're not going to allow intercourse in the park, but they will probably operate motels nearby.
Is there going to be an alarm that goes off if they hear a dick going in a vag? Some alarm goes off and there's going to be like, you know, they're going to separate them somehow?
They should have a crew, like an entire like four or five people at a time that come out and like defuse the situation.
Like dick drones.
That's right. The, you know, a sex crew that breaks it up or something.
Yeah.
This sounds bizarre.
So you want to have a erotic theme park with no sex allowed.
Yeah.
That's sure. Like saying I want to have a beachfront resort with no sand or water.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. No views of the water.
No water. Yeah. It just seems like you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. Just people are people too. But it's funny. One of my friends saw this and he was like, he does construction and building management. He's like, oh, they're probably trying to find, they're probably pitching ideas of what to do with all the stadiums and all the venues that are left over after the Olympics. Because a lot of times, like there were stories recently done where, you know, they have these Olympics in these places where they probably shouldn't have had the Olympics, because while it's nice to try to boost the economy, they don't have an economy to support everything that they've spent all this money, time, and resource to build after the Olympics. And like some of the places, like some stadiums are like parking lots and things like that, where it's just like, you know, they just wasted money. So I think they said it could be a pitch to say, hey, let's do something with some of the venues that are left over. So who knows? Maybe it'll go into.
There's some existence of that, but I mean, there's so many stadiums. They're all over the place. I mean, you would need to have multiple erotic theme parks to. Well, I guess for the Olympics, that's going to be happening now. I was thinking of the World Cup, all the stadiums that are already there. But yeah. Now, wouldn't it kind of also have made sense to have had this before all these events, like before the World Cup and before the Olympics? So all the people who are coming down there who want to be, you know, who are coming down to view the events have somewhere to blow off some steam, quote unquote.
Yeah, that would be nice. But then, you know, it's building. They would have to have another venue in addition. You know what I mean? I'm just wondering if they're going to have like some sexual logo, some mascot, like a pornographic Mickey Mouse or Joe Camel with, you know, some parts hanging out or something.
That's, yeah. I mean, you got to have a mascot, right?
Yeah. There's going to be some kind of logo, a mascot, running around the park.
Yeah.
So that would be very interesting. So
we'll see what happens with that.
We'll have to follow that story.
Definitely. We have to go visit it. A little field trip.
Right.
An erotic ski bum field trip. Erotic with a K.
That's right.
All right. Since we're talking about soccer already, next story. This was from Vice Sports. Now, it's kind of got a Game of Thrones tie-in as well. Club Deportivo Palencia has just debuted their Flayed Man uniform. So imagine the human anatomy just with the skin ripped off, and that's what these jerseys look like.
Wow.
It's pretty interesting.
It's like that museum where the skin's off of all the body exhibit.
Oh, the bodies exhibit, yeah.
It's like that, watching them run around, play soccer. It's gross.
Yeah. Do they show the back of the shorts? Like, is it like a butt? I don't quite – they didn't give us that shot. I'm trying to figure out, where is this team from? Are they from South America? Are they from Portugal? Like, I can't exactly tell.
Yeah, I can't tell either. Well, Palencia, where's Palencia from?
It's Spain, maybe? Oh, man. Oh, it's got to be Spain.es. So, España, right?
Yeah. Oh, here it is. Palencia. Yeah, Spain's fourth quarter. Yeah.
So okay.
It's Spain.
Oh, man, if you go to their Twitter page, you get to see all of their different – like, there's a – I guess is that a goalie kit maybe? It's purple?
It's purple, yeah.
Oh, and it still has, like, the logo, like, right across the abs and that the crest of the team over the heart. Oh, man. My God. The three dudes, like, standing there, they look so weird. There's no, like, dong either. It's just really bizarre. And this is a horrible idea.
Like, it looks funny when you see one guy wearing it, like, yeah, that's cool. And then you see a whole team, like, okay, now it's a little creepy.
It's like the Boltons. Like, the Boltons now have a soccer team.
Hey, maybe it's that mental intimidation of their rivals, you know?
Here's a picture of the back, finally. Yeah, it's like a weird, like, butt-looking thing. You know, Gluteus Maximus is represented.
That's crazy.
Oh, these are terrible uniforms. My God.
I saw bike jerseys like that one time, and I was like, yeah, they look a little too creepy.
Yeah, this was a well, you know what? Hey, if they need some press, they definitely got some press on this.
Yeah. They said they're the fourth tier team, so they're you know, I guess any press is good press for them.
You know what? I bet they're going to have tons of jersey sales, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's right.
We'll have to report the first person you see wearing one of these jerseys around.
Hey, Halloween, that's perfect.
That's a really easy Halloween costume to do.
Yeah.
You have girls like, oh my God, I love your outfit. Right?
That's right. All they got to do is get messy on there or something. That's it.
Just for like one game. Just like, do they like rent their players out?
Yeah.
Just like rent them out for a game. Whatever it would cost to rent him for one game, they would make quadruple in jersey sales. Easily.
Just in jersey sales. Yeah.
Just in jerseys. That's a great investment right there.
Oh, yeah.
Tenfold. Oh, here they are on sale. I found it. €50 for one of these jerseys.
Not bad, not bad.
So worth picking up.
You're buying one right now, aren't you?
I believe I am.
Boom. All right.
It's going to look like $1 million wearing that bad boy. All right, so Club Deportivo Palencia fans, get out there and get your Bolton. I think Austin Rivers would get like one Bolton on the back.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. Have a bunch of Boltons running around.
Bunch of Boltons. Awesome. All right, next up.
All right, so next one, this is a favorite of mine. So this past week, May 11th, which I didn't realize was this day, it was Leroy Jenkins Day. So if anybody
Leroy
knows
Jenkins.
If anybody knows Leroy Jenkins, World of Warcraft, I guess there's a video, I guess when things started getting like, you know, posted online and videos like first started getting posted, this was one of those that became like hugely popular.
Internet gold, you could say.
Internet gold. And if anybody doesn't know, Leroy Jenkins, the guy, he's been on like, I think he was on Colbert. He's been on a bunch of stuff. They even had him as a question on Jeopardy. Like, so there's a lot of like pop culture like references to him. So if you don't know who Leroy Jenkins is, take a look at the story and definitely watch the video. But the funniest part of it, it's a video of World of Warcraft, and on the audio, there's all these people that are in World of Warcraft. And it was like a group of like, I don't know, like 15 people.
And they were trying to go in. Right?
Yeah, it was like I guess they joined up and they were all trying to go in and storm this castle or something like that. And it's really hard to get in. And they're running through all the checkpoints. And it almost sounds like a whole military operation. It's the weirdest thing. And in the middle of it all, you hear, Brian, go ahead. You hear,
Leroy Jenkins.
And this dude just gets his character. And while they're talking, he just runs in. And he starts getting killed, and then everybody else runs in, and they all get killed. And the funniest part of it all is you hear the one guy that's leading is like, God damn it, Leroy. They're just all frustrated, and they're like, you're such a dummy, you're such an idiot. Like, it was funny as hell.
Like, it was, you know, it was almost like if you were going into battle, the ultimate war cry, and then yeah. Just getting slaughtered right after. You know what it reminds me of? I don't know if you guys are UFC fans. There was a commercial they would have on during these UFC events for Nas energy drink. And you see the, you know, this one guy, you know, one guy gets in the ring and, you know, very calm, very just kind of like focused. Another guy comes in, big mohawk, colored beard. He's doing flips. He's talking all kinds of shit, getting in his face. The bell rings. The calm guy just comes and knocks him right out. One punch. It's kind of that. You come with all this flair and this excitement and enthusiasm, and you just don't back it up. That was exactly what Leroy Jenkins was. Uh-oh. Sounds like the feed may have froze. Well, that's not good. All right, well, we have one more story, and it looks like the Hill Farmstead Brewery 2016 Farmhouse Ales Festival will be going on, and it's going to take place on August 13th. So tickets went on sale this past week, lottery style format. So get in there, get your tickets. If you haven't been to Hill Farmstead, it is pretty much the best brewery in the world. They have they're up in the middle of Vermont, northern Vermont, dynamite beer selection. So go to hillfarmstead.com/FOFA, get your tickets, $100 each, so worth it. Get out there and enjoy. We've been there a couple times, had tons of beers. We love it. So that wraps up the podcast for the week. So it's just me. So thank you guys again so much for listening. We will talk to you again next week. Hit us up, skibumpodcast.com. Send us an email, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast. And we will see you guys next week. See ya.